From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of June 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing. Drew Lerner will be here to discuss the weather forecast across the planet, and we'll hear an update of crop progress across the United States from the statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn settled at $6.75 today, down 13 and three quarters of a cent a bushel. September at 5.93 and a quarter, 8 3/4 lower. And December at 5.72 and three quarters, down 4 1/4 cents. July beans up 14, $15.62 and a half the settlement price. The November there at $14.13 and three quarters, up 16 and three quarters a bushel. The bean meal down $4.70. Bean oil at $2.99 higher on the day. July soft red winter wheat down 6 cents a bushel at $6.87 and a half, and the hard red July at $6.33 and three quarters, down 3 3/4 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $119.25, up $2.65. Feeders at $152.32 and a half, up $3.17 and a half, and lean hogs at $118.47 and a half, down $1.17 and a half today. Crude oil at $68.74 a barrel, about $1 higher. U.S. Diesel fuel up 3 3/10 cents at $2.10 and 4 cents, and the wholesale price of gasoline now at $2.19 and 1/10 cents, 2 cents higher for the day. Ethanol futures $2.46 a gallon, up 11 cents. Jackie Vakes joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri now. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being with us. Before we get started with this week, because I was gone last week and it was just kind of a wild ride, can you kind of recap that for me, please?
Wow. Well, how do you want me to recap it? Just by saying, yuck. It was bad. As I say, I mean, we certainly... We're tumbling all over the place. I mean, you know, it was a circumstance where we dropped heavy, and then we came back, and then of course we continued. You know, now we're looking at corn. You know, if we look at beans, beans continued to drop, and then saw, you know, a little bit of a comeback on the weekend. Then saw a good day yesterday. Today, not, you know, today's just average kind of day. There are just so many things going on. I mean, we've seen so much news out of China that has just kind of thrown a wrench into everything you can think of, you know. They of course continue to talk about their cryptocurrencies, you know, banned their commodity, their banks from allowing small people to do anything trading commodities. Now tell me why their banks were trading commodities for these people in the first place. I don't know. So now they're saying that the banks have to send them to a brokerage firm. They can't continue to work with them. So, you know, that had an impact. And just in general, the weather, I think, you know, and as well as the fact that we were gearing up to wait for, you know, to look at the first crop condition ratings for corn. And we've just, I mean, corn sales for new crop corn have just been unbelievable. Not so much on old crop, you know, and so that's starting to reverse things.
Yeah. So where's the corn going?
Oh, I thought maybe you'd ask me that. I sure wish I had my crystal ball handy, but I don't. I'll give you some ideas here. If I look at July corn, 663 is the support, 689 is resistance. Crossover is at 899. Don't think we're going to get there, but you never know. The low today is 666. Don't like that number very much. But we look at September corn, 524 is support, 575 resistance, 568 is crossover. December, and this is now monthly, continuous monthly chart, 561 support, 596 resistance, 665 is a crossover. We look at beans, July 1460, 1668 crossover at 1555, August 1403, 1550 crossover 1665, November also monthly, 1307 support, 1461 resistance, crossovers at 1501. Todd, I did add gold because, you know, gold gives us a little bit of a view of what the world is thinking about as far as the economy goes. So for June, support 1823, resistance is at 1921, and we have what I would call a reverse pennant going. In other words, instead of narrowing to a point, it's actually widening as it's going up. the U.S. dollar index, 88.25 for support, 91.73 for resistance. Haven't been able to get managed money lately, but I will tell you that we saw corn add 35,000 yesterday after giving up 17,500 on Friday. Beans added 12,500 yesterday. They dropped 4,000 on Friday. Wheat added 15,000 after going down 5,000 on Friday. Soy meal, 2,500 up, 3,500 up on Friday. And soy oil up 7,000 after being down 3,500 on Friday. When we look at export inspections, of course, June 1st is the start of the new crop year for wheat, and we'll get the rest of the numbers next week. But wheat exports are running about 1% ahead of last year, same as last week, and USDA is still at a 2% increase for the year. Corn, 78% ahead of a year ago compared to 78 last week, and beans, 58% ahead of a year ago compared to 60% last week. When you look at wheat, we were at 256.5. Mexico took 89.9 of that. And so we actually even saw Brazil come in and buy 16.5 million on the wheat side, too, something we don't see real often. So just interesting. You can see that China has backed off on the beans. China's backed off on they don't take a lot of wheat from us, but they take some. But they certainly have amped up their corn.
Many of the folks that I talked to, and I've seen this on Twitter and a couple of other places, are beginning to think about this market actually really transitioning into a weather market. I'm not sure you'd say that today, given the price of corn. However, do you think that's the case, and what do we see in the future?
Oh, I do think that's the case. I think, you know, and when you look at the markets in general, Todd, I think one of the big indicators that we have to always watch is basis, you know, and I ask all of our people to go out and check their basis after that big rally yesterday. And what we're finding in most cases is that it's flat or down. And that's not necessarily a good indicator, but that's only a near-term indicator. There is a heat wave coming into the Canadian prairies. We know that. And so it looks like it's going to be very, very hot. The U.S. weather is showing an 8 to 14 day. It looks warm and dry in the west. We always have to question how much impact that'll have just because of the fact that there's so much irrigation in the west. And so the trade sometimes tends to discount that unless it really gets to be a long-term situation. But I do think that's what we're transitioning into. I don't think that we have really any major weather built into this. When you look at corn condition, I think everybody was surprised at the 76% good to excellent, Todd. But, you know, last week was a holiday weekend. They can turn their numbers in anywhere from Friday to Sunday. I would bet that most of them got turned in on Friday and therefore maybe doesn't necessarily reflect a lot of the cold snap that we had while you were gone. We've heard that there are people who up in the upper Midwest that may actually have to replant their beans, that they frosted them off. But we'll have to wait until next week to find that. Now, Iowa, I looked, they're good to excellent, is starting out on corn below 2018 and 2020. And when we look at spring wheat conditions that came in, they came in at 43% good to excellent. But North Dakota is 30% lower than they've been in any year since 2017. That's pretty concerning in itself. And we do know that, you know, wheat has a tendency to definitely influence corn in general.
What do you see out of South America?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty interesting. Mato Grosso do Sul's Safrina corn this last weekend got hit by what looked, well, when you look at the damage, I wish I could show you pictures, but just look at the pictures from Iowa. Those derecho winds, basically, it looks just like what we saw in Iowa last summer. So, you know, they sure didn't need that. There's no question. Here's a big concern in Brazil. The hydroelectric dams are in the midst of the lowest rainfall now in 90 years. You know, a few weeks ago when we talked, it was 70 years. Now we're up to 90 years, and they've only got records for 91 years. And so a lot of talk about them having to reduce electrical consumption, figure out more expensive ways to be able to produce electric again, and this is, you know, they're just heading into their dry season, so they have a lot of issues. There's nothing good going on down there in terms of the weather. It's particularly bad for the water levels on the Paraná River, you know, because we've talked how many times about the Puerto Rosario in Argentina and how they can't get the grain from Paraguay or from parts of Brazil to where it needs to be. hog producers in southern Brazil, they say they're losing money on every single hog because corn prices are too high and hog prices are too low. So we'll have to see how that plays out, you know, because that always has an impact on demand. Argentina, Todd, basically pretty interesting information. They set a record in May going back 18 years, basically, and this is for crop export and crushing. So they don't break it down by any individual stuff, but they said sales in May increased 17% month over month, 82% year over year. The rally in commodities basically compensated for the port strikes and the shallowness in the Paraná River. And up to date now, they have sold $13.3 billion, which I'm sure that Argentina itself is really happy about that because they collect a huge amount of tax off of anything that's exported out of Argentina.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. I love doing it. You know that. You have a great day.
You too. That's Jackie Vakes. She is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of May 30th, that's Sunday, 95% of the corn crop around the nation had been sown. The rolling five-year average there is 87%, emerged at 81%. The five-year average is 70%. And the condition of the crop is said to be 62% good and 14% excellent. That's up 2 percentage points in both those categories combined from the previous year. It's also the first week for a crop conditions report for corn this week. Soybeans planted now at 84%, the five-year average 67%, emergence it's 62%, five-year average is 42%. No national crop condition rating for the soybeans. Taking a quick look at wheat conditions across the United States. Winter wheat headed now 79%, the five-year average is 78%, and the condition of the crop is 40% good, 8% excellent. Last week, it was 39 and 8. Now, here are the statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota with updates from their regions.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Beneficial rains helped stimulate crop growth, and cool, cloudy conditions allowed needed moisture to stay in the soil during the week ending May 30, 2021. Below normal overnight temperatures, primarily in low-lying areas, resulted in scattered reports of frost. Top soil moisture levels rated 1% very short, 14% short, 76% adequate, and 9% surplus. Corn planting is virtually complete. Corn emergence reached 87%, 5 days ahead of the five-year average. Iowa's corn condition rated 81% good to excellent. 93% of the soybean crop has been planted, 12 days ahead of normal. Farmers in southeast Iowa have just over one quarter of their soybean crop remaining to be planted. Soybeans emerged reached 72%, 9 days ahead of the five-year average. Iowa's first soybean condition rating of the season showed 0% very poor, 1% poor, 23% fair, 60% good, and 16% excellent. Pasture condition improved to 54% good to excellent. There was little stress on livestock, although some feedlots remain muddy. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is the Illinois Crop Progress and Conditions for week ending Sunday, May 30th, 2021. There was an average of 3.9 days suitable for field work last week. Temperatures averaged 64.9 degrees, 0.9 degrees below normal. Precipitation averaged 1.07 inches, 0.03 inches above normal. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 8% short, 69% adequate, and 22% surplus. Corn planted reached 95% compared to the five-year average of 84%. Corn emerge was 86% compared to the five-year average of 72%. Corn condition was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 16% fair, 67% good, and 13% excellent. Soybeans planted reached 89% compared to the five-year average of 65%. Soybeans emerged reached 74% compared to the five-year average of 46%. Soybean conditions rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 19% fair, 67% good, and 10% excellent. Winter wheat headed was 95% compared to the 5-year average of 91%. Winter wheat conditions rated 2% very poor, 2% poor, 9% fair, 60% good, and 27% excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 1% very poor, 1% poor, 24% fair, 43% good, and 31% excellent. This has been Steve Parn with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Heartland Regional Field Office in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Field activities for the week included hay cutting and applying fertilizer, as weather conditions allowed 4.7 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 4% very short, 20% short, 71% adequate, and 5% surplus. Statewide, corn was 89% emerged, the same as last year, but 8 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn condition was 0% very poor, 2% poor, 22% fair, 62% good, and 14% excellent. Soybean emerged reached 81%, which was 8 days ahead of last year and over 2 weeks ahead of the average. The first soybean condition of the season reported 0% very poor, 2% poor, 22% fair, 65% good, and 11% excellent. Spring wheat was 97% emerged, nearly 2 weeks ahead of last year and average. Spring wheat jointed was 42%, that's 12 days ahead of average. Spring wheat condition was 0% very poor, 2% poor, 18% fair, 64% good, and 16% excellent. Pasture condition rated 3% very poor, 12% poor, 40% fair, 41% good, and 4% excellent. Pasture growth is behind in some areas. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly update of crop progress across the Midwest. Let's turn our attention on this Wednesday to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, it is June. June and July are harvest months for a lot of wheat. August, too, across the northern hemisphere. And there is wheat in trouble, it seems, in all kinds of places. Maybe if you could give us a global review of what that might look like, it would be great.
Yeah. You know, the biggest issue, of course, is right here in our backyard with the northern plains and Canada's prairies going through a pretty stressful period this week with the excessive heat and the dry conditions that are going to occur. This is just the tip of the iceberg for some of that area, I'm afraid. The ridge of high pressure that's building up this week is kind of debuting as far as being a strong system that will locate over the plains actually a little later next week. And then once it starts to set up there, it's probably going to like being there for a big part of the summer as we go forward. So even though we may have a brief interruption to the hot, dry weather, northern plains, spring wheat areas and neighboring areas for corn, soybeans and canola, we will go back under the ridge again a little bit later this month, and it will become a festering problem. So the droughty conditions up there are definitely going to prevail. On the other end of the plains in Texas and Oklahoma, we've had a lot of rain recently. It hasn't really been a tremendous problem up till now. But we definitely need to turn off the spigot here and get them to dry down. The crop is mature and maturing and needs to be harvested. There's a little field work already underway. So stopping the rain is going to be a big priority. And it looks like next week when this ridge returns to the plains, it will shut it down. I think we'll see dry and warmer weather in Texas and Oklahoma. Of course, it's going to be all the way up into Canada, too. But for the southern plains, we need this drier biased environment. In other areas in the world, we've got pretty good wheat conditions right now across Europe and across Western Russia. It's a little wet in Ukraine and some of the immediate neighboring areas in southwestern Russia, but that's really not a huge issue for them right now. A little farther to the east, though, in the Russian New Lands region, there's a big area of spring wheat that is produced that is facing right now some serious dry biased conditions. Over the past month, rainfall has been well below normal. This is in northern Kazakhstan and southern parts of Russia's New Lands, kind of east of the Ural Mountains, if you know your geography. The dryness is taking a little break right now. We're getting some scattered showers in that area. It's a little cooler, a little temporary relief. But starting next week, we go back under a ridge of high pressure there, and we'll go right back into the heat and the dryness. So we will be matching the stress that's occurring in the northern U.S. plains and Canada's prairies with a problem in Russia's spring wheat area. So that may be a market interest as we go forward in time. And then there's China. They're in the midst of harvesting their wheat, and it's looking very good. They're having a drier bias right now, which is really helping to mature the crop and get it out of the fields. But from a summer crop perspective, that same area is getting a little dry, and there'll be some chatter out there in the marketplace over the next week to 10 days about China drying down in east central parts of the country. It's good for wheat, not so great for some of the grains and oil seeds. Then we'll keep an eye on that. In the southern hemisphere, wheat conditions right now are looking very good for Australia. Finally, they've had a very slow start to the autumn precipitation pattern. And because of that, the planting has been good in the west and not so good in the east. But over this next week, we're going to balance it out with rain coming up for eastern Australia, which will be really good. And Argentina is going to see their best planting weather in probably 2 to 3 years. They've got good soil moisture in the ground, with the exception of Cordoba. And it looks like some timely rain may occur as we go forward through the planting season, which occurs from now into July. And they should get off to a really good start. So that is your world wrap up there.
Wow. So wheat has some interesting things happening in it, including the ridge that you talked about early on. That will have an impact on corn and soybean production, especially in the Dakotas, Minnesota, maybe even in Iowa. And you mentioned it might stick around for a good part of the summer. Do you see it moving to the east?
I don't see it going to the east very far. Now, we may expand not only into Iowa, but maybe even down into Missouri and Kansas. I can see that happening, but it'd be more likely to occur in July, late July, probably in August. For getting it into the eastern Midwest, that seems a little bit more doubtful. Most of the trend data that I look at suggests a trough of low pressure will develop over the eastern Midwest and the middle and south Atlantic coast states as we go July and August. So there should be a northwest flow in the eastern parts of the country that'll bring a little bit milder temperatures into those areas and a chance for some periodic showers and thunderstorms. So I think it's going to be the western Corn Belt that'll be most at odds with the dryness. And of course, the upper Midwest and the northern plains, as well as southeastern Canada's prairies, will be ground zero for this. And I do think it'll be a full-blown drought of significant proportions. So the dryness will eat into a lot of production potential. It will get a couple of breaks in it, but I do think the feature will be rather persistent.
Hey, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.